Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Good morning. I hope you guys had a wonderful Christmas. We are starting a two-week series on worship. And I'm grateful for all of you guys to be up here and lead us in praise. It's just really, really exciting to do that. But this whole concept of worship is sometimes really ambiguous to us. It's like, I'm not quite sure what it all looks like. We're not going to dive into like the nitty-gritty as much as just kind of do an overview of it and then actually spend some time with God worshiping Him. But I don't want to just push Christmas aside, you know, back into the closet. Okay, we did all the Christmas stuff and now we're moving on. I actually want to go back to Thursday night when we read a passage, actually a prophecy from Isaiah some 700 years before the birth of Jesus. I want to read that to you guys. And I want us to just think about who God is. You know, when we talk about worship, it's really important that we define who it is that we want to worship, right? And so listen to what Isaiah prophesies. You guys have heard this text before. It's Isaiah 9. Excuse me. By the way, I don't have notes today, but you guys can figure it out. Open your Bibles, write on decision cards, whatever you guys want to do. Isaiah says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." You know, at Christmas time, we read this text and we talk about the baby Jesus, but what I love about it is that Isaiah not only prophesies about the coming of the Messiah, but he gives us some great detail about his character and who he actually is in here. And he actually gives some names that we can hold on to that really reveal God. And so as you look at this text, I just want to hit a couple things because I don't want to just run past it. I want you to listen carefully. It says, Isaiah says, "And the government will be on his shoulders." In other words, the rule and dominion of the world is not on man, not on some great leader that we might elect, but it's on God himself and on his shoulders. Isn't that powerful just to think through that and remember that? Isaiah says that he is the wonderful counselor. So what God tells us through his expressed will in his word that the Holy Spirit shines his light on is God's counsel, it's his advice, it's perfection that he gives us. Do you realize that what God shares is perfection? It's not lies, confusion, or fake news that we're so accustomed to having to strain and filter through. When God speaks through his word, we can count on it and trust it. He's mighty. He's mighty God. He is a strong God. He has no limits. He's not limited by our culture, by our politics, or even by our religion. God has no limits. He is the everlasting Father. He continues forever. Think about that. He continues forever. He's the Prince of Peace. The Prince means ruler. He's ruler of peace. He's ruler of completeness, of wealth, of health, of contentment, of soundness. I mean, all the things that are a reflection of peace, he rules over all of those. Isaiah says his government will have no end. He rules forever. Do you realize that God is not constrained by a four-year term limit for a president? Think about that for a minute. Isn't that good that we don't have to elect a new God every 4 years? I mean, he's there. He's awesome. He reigns as king, judging with moral perfection. He can't make a wrong decision. That's our God. That's our miracle worker. That's our way maker. That's the God we worship. He's not political. He's only just and righteous. That's our God. And I would say it would be really easy. I know Jeremy and Corey both referenced it, for us to look at 2020 and just pretend it never happened. But as Corey said, God has been on the move doing things. And so while it has been difficult, frustrating, challenging, restrictive, whatever other adjectives that you can put to it, God is still on the throne. And he will remain on the throne, his word says, forever. Isn't that good? Isn't that important for us just to let that sink in when we're talking about worship and we're talking about who do we give praise and honor? Who do we celebrate to? It's our God. You know, and I would say that relating to worship, when we seek God for who he really is, we are forced to worship him. There's a picture, actually, the prophet Isaiah, a few chapters before, chapter 6, Isaiah has this picture. It's a fascinating picture. You guys may or may not have heard it in the past, but it's the word says, in the year that King Uzziah died, in essence, the throne that the governmental king sat on was dead, okay? The king died. Isaiah had this picture where he saw God on the highest of thrones. And it's this elaborate picture when you read Isaiah 6 where God is sitting on his throne and his robe, the train of his robe fills the entire temple. And there's seraphs that are flying around, and there's no way in the world I can make this. I can't even do it. They have 6 wings. Picture this. 2 over their eyes, 2 over their feet, and 2 to stay flying. And they are praising God. They are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the temple is shaking. Can you imagine this dream, this vision that Isaiah had? What does Isaiah do when he comes encounter with the real, holy, and righteous God? Poof, he falls on his face. He says, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips. I live among unclean people. That is the posture of worship when we really get in touch with who God is. I don't always think of worship that way. I don't. Worship is our response to God. Worship is showing reverence and adoration for who God is and what God does. That's what true worship is. Now, we can express worship in a number of different ways. We can do it in our quiet time, in our prayer time, crack the word of God open and just truly worship him. We can do it as praise, like we were doing this morning, as we stand up and lift our voices to heaven, to God. We can do it on hikes. We can do it hunting. You can do it painting. There's so many ways to express your worship to God. But what I want to talk about is just, what is the heart of worship? What is the heart of worship? And the heart of worship starts with humility. It starts with humility. You can't truly worship God if you're in a prideful state, because that means you're better than God. See, true humility means I gladly put myself under the authority of God. This is what David says in Psalm 5. Man, you guys, the Psalms are so rich. But listen to David in Psalm 5, verse 7 and 8. But I, by your great love or mercy, in another translation, can come into your house in reverence. I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. You see, David gets it. He comes in reverence, and he's submitted to God, and he says, God, lead me in your ways. See, when David is looking at his enemies, God looks small. But the minute that David is looking at God, God looks big. And he's humbled himself out of reverence, and he says, lead me. That is a great picture of worship. I was thinking this morning, actually, it came to mind. It's a recollection from my past about reverence. Follow me for a minute. So some of you know I was in the Navy, and we had various weapon systems on the ship that I was responsible for, and one of them was not working right. We couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. It's a radar gun system. So we called General Dynamics. We were in San Diego, and General Dynamics sent a rep out, and the rep came out, and so he and I walked out on the deck with this weapon system, and it's running in this mode, this run mode, and this rep reaches down, and he unscrews a connector that has serious amperage in it, negative 25 kV volts. I mean, it's, Mike, you probably know what all this means. So he reaches down, and I'm trying to process what he's doing because I know the machine's running. He sticks his finger to think, like to wiggle the plug. And all of a sudden, he's standing next to me, and he's like, the dude's going to die. And I reach over, and I shut the machine off, and he drops the plug. And I'm standing there going, what? I mean, it was crazy. And he goes, I'm done for the day. I said, you need to see a doctor. He goes, no, I need to go to the bar and have a beer. And he walks off the ship. But here's the story that I'm thinking about, or the picture that I'm thinking about in here. So I had proper respect for that plug from that day forward. I was still responsible to fix that gear and to work with that gear. I couldn't run from it. But I can tell you, all the rest of the time that I worked on that gear, I walked over and made sure that thing was off before I took that plug off. I revered that plug because I knew that if I didn't treat it wisely, ashes, I'd be smoked, right? When we talk about reverence, we're talking about the creator of the world, the God of the universe, who has made each and every one of us. And I just want to share, this goes for all of us. When we approach God, let's check our junk at the door and do our best to enter in recognizing that he's God and I'm not. Amen? You guys get that? The heart of humility and worship. And look, this is not easy to do. I mean, when we're humbled, it positions us before God so we can actually hear God. And I was thinking about stories in the Bible, and the first person that comes to mind is Peter. Because Peter is like, you remember Peter? Peter's like, Lord, I will never leave you. What did he do? He bailed on Jesus, denied him 3 times, right? Peter was absolutely humbled by God. Here's what Peter says in his epistle to the church, his letter to the church, 1 Peter 5:6. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Now, here's what, I take this seriously. You know why? Because Peter is speaking from personal experience. Peter was humbled by Jesus, like leveled by Jesus. In the most loving way, he was humbled. And he's saying to us, bear up, church, under the most difficult circumstances, trust the Lord, because in due time, he's going to lift us up. Isn't that a great promise? I mean, like, the backstory and the context is hard, but the reality is, the truth is, that God will lift us up in his time. I mean, I feel pretty good about that, right? Worship, number two, restores our perspective. And do you think we need a dose of perspective right now in the world we're in? It's pretty crazy, isn't it? It's hard to keep it. I don't know about you guys, but there's been so much thrown at me in the last several months. It's like, I have to keep perspective. I have to press into God. We all do, to keep him on his throne and for us to not freak out. But there's a story in the Bible. It's actually played out in Psalm 73. If you guys have your Bibles, Psalm 73, it is about Asaph. Now, Asaph was one of 3 Levites that King David appointed to lead song in the temple. In other words, he was a worship leader. He was a Jeremy, okay? Asaph is probably wrote 12, 13, 14 Psalms in the Bible. Not a ton of them, but he's known in the Bible. Asaph has a bad day or a bad week or a bad month. I don't know how long it was, but here's what he says. Psalm 73, verses 2 through 9. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. That's the what. Verse 3, the why. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. Really? Who do we know on planet Earth that's free from this? But do you see how distorted his view is at this point? They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Whew. He could have been writing about this today, right? It's amazing. Here's a question, though. You spend more time looking at the negative than you do the good things? Because here's the point. I mean, if we think and put God in a box and call God small, then we open the door for the lies of Satan to come in and rip our peace off, don't we? We're just grinding our teeth over and over at some circumstance or situation. We need to let God be big, don't we? So let's follow Asaph in this. Verse 16. But when I thought how to understand all of this in essence, it seemed to me a wearisome task. It was like a heavy burden for him to try to process it all. You know, and again, when we focus on the things we can't control, our joy, our peace, our perspective, our focus is sucked dry. We get anxious, we get depressed, we struggle, we wrestle. You know, I was thinking about this welding helmet of mine. I love to weld. It's a arc welder. And when I put my helmet on, there's a dark lens right here. And its sole purpose is for me to keep the arc the only thing that I can see. It's a dark lens that shuts everything else. All I can do is focus on that spark, right? It's like, I carry this around, Irv, just to work on Chevys, by the way. I thought I'd add that. But anyway, I couldn't pass that up. Sorry, buddy. I got one coming back, trust me. But here's the deal. If I walk around with this hood on all the time and it's dark all the time, how in the world am I ever going to have God's perspective? How in the world? But see, when we worship God, we lift the lenses off and we allow God's light to shine on our lives and our circumstances. And when his light and his life shines in our circumstances, we gain perspective, don't we? We can see again. We can understand. Here's what Asaph actually did in verse 17. Look at this. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. What is that? He went in to worship God. Then I discerned their end. Then all of a sudden, things became clear and took their proper perspective again. Because when we worship God, he becomes big again, and the circumstances, the enemies, the challenges, all the garbage in this world that we deal with take their rightful place under the footstool of a mighty and holy God. That's why we worship you guys. Isn't God good? I mean, that we can go to him and we can see him. You know, when I was doing this message yesterday and I was reading through the passages, I was like this grinning idiot. And it's like, you know why? You know why I was grinning so much? So I was washing myself in the word and I was just reminded of how good God is. He is good. The answer is worship because it gets our eyes back on God and off of our insufficiencies. The third thing about worship is it's celebration and thanksgiving. And I, you know what? We're going to read this together. So you guys, I think we have a slide. And the worship team, you guys can start working your way up. I want to read this. This is Psalm 100, 1 through 5. You guys, will you read this out loud with me? We're talking about worshiping, so let's do this out loud together. You guys got the screen? Yeah. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Listen to this. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Doesn't it feel good just to read scripture for perspective? Guys, it's worship. Here's something. If I think something, it's a thought. But when I speak it out loud, it's completely different. And I am now with a voice expressing something beyond a thought. When we come before God and we shout for joy, we are expressing our adoration, our desire to be with our Lord verbally, and it is healthy and good, and God loves it. There's nothing wrong with just, man, when you're in your car or your truck, shout out to the Lord. Praise him. It's life-giving. Serve the Lord with gladness, with pleasure and joy, is what it says in that song. Why? Because God is good, right? He's really good. And those of us that are in Christ Jesus, we're called to enter worship. It's actually part of abiding. Do you realize that? It's part of drawing near to God and remaining in God. In John 15, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So why wouldn't we climb into our Father's lap and worship him? I mean, isn't God worthy of our praise? There's a word in the New Testament. It's called Eucharisteo. It's where we get the word Eucharist from. It's a Greek word. The first part of the word eu, E-U, means good. And then charis, which is grace, it means Eucharisteo, it means good grace. So when we come together and we praise and we are thankful, we praise God, we are saying, God, your grace is so good. Well, what is his grace about? Whew. The cross. He gave us what we couldn't earn. He liberally poured his love out on us on the cross, so that we could be in relationship with an everlasting, holy, mighty God forever. Can I get an amen on that? This stuff down here is overrated. Let's get our eyes off of it and let's praise and worship God. Listen, David, Psalm 9, 1 through 2. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises, that means make music, of your name. Who? O Most High. God is good. You guys want to just stand and praise the Lord?
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.